55.
I spent some time in a wheelchair and crutches in my 70s. Arms were stronger from that than they were the 20 years beforehand. Good thing I didn't know that in my 20s, or I'd have been using crutches for weeks on end.
The following day, the group had made it to the end of the swamplands and to the base of the mountain. From the distance, those mountains had looked dark gray with spots of green and misty tops. Up close, Charles saw that the gray was more of a blue, with layers of orange and yellow peeking out, the green spots clumps of bushes and trees, some heavy thickets. Waiting there was a bald monk wearing a very plain robe. Behind him, a pathway twisted up the mountain to where Charles could see the side of a building near the top. The mountain range spread to their left and right, steep and rocky. Another trail led along the base of the range, and Charles could see, while it wasn't heavily trafficked, there were some folks traveling. Monks and farmers, mostly. Some few adventurers, though it was hard to tell with the distance. As they approached the monk, he bowed his head in greeting, sunlight reflecting from it like a mirror.
"Greetings, honored elder, from the Garnothatec Monastery."
Charles stood there and watched for a moment, a little perturbed at the tongue twister of a name before answering.
"What do you want?"
he grumped. The monk raised his head.
"My name is Tim, and I am here to lead you to the monastery, as the path there could be dangerous. Crumbling stone and dangerous monsters."
The monk smiled.
"Huh,"
Charles answered. Charles didn't really like looking at him. The man had no apparent hair visible anywhere, and his face looked smooth and nearly perfect.
"It's like looking at a mannequin."
Yet it was also a familiar look to Charles, like an actor from an old movie, but he couldn't think of the actor's name. He tried for a long while to place the monk's appearance, but eventually gave up.
"That's nice of them to send someone. I wonder if they're all that nice. He seems quiet, too. That's a good thing."
Charles kept standing there thinking.
"There's nothing to complain from what he's done. Despite how he looks, he's perfectly behaved."
With something nearing disappointment, no matter how he thought about it, Charles couldn't find a reason to thwack the man with a stick. Eventually, he settled with agreeing.
"Okay."
Little did Charles realize his thought processes took the better part of an hour and a half. His traveling companions had spent the time whispering to themselves in confusion before settling on a decision that this was some sort of mega-quest loading time. The monk, for his part, theorized that this was some sort of test of patience, and he represented the entire monastery. Being that this man was the new owner of their entire mountain, failing the test could have repercussions on their whole order. He did not want to be the monk who caused them to lose their home. The monk bowed his head in acknowledgement, and then started to explain the expectations of what one could find traveling up the mountain. Soon he paused. Their entire group watched and waited as a group of weirdly dressed monks with translucent mohawks shuffled past. Charles, though, had seen more unusual sights in the game so far, so he ignored them as they passed. Instead, he took a seat on a large stone and gazed over the swampland they'd just passed through. The tiger lay next to him, and he idly scratched its head.
"Well?"
he prompted, and the monk continued discussing terrain and monsters in a very factual and detailed manner. Charles, deciding that the man was rambling, ignored him. He had decided to whittle while the monk spoke. He whittled for a while, with the man droning on in the background. The monk was lecturing on cloud-stepping leopards or something when an icon started blinking on Charles's display, an icon for an incoming comm. He mentally selected it, hoping for one of his kids or grandkids, but not all too disappointed to see Bert on the other end. His friend, the one that got him into the game, had changed some. He had flowing golden locks of hair that seemed to shine with inner radiance and matching eyes. The image seemed to show him flying through the air, angels chasing after.
"Hey, Bert,"
Charles called, ignorant of how his companions took the interruption.
"Charles, good to see you. Have I got news for you?"
Bert said with a big old grin. In the background, it looked like one of the angels hurled lightning that barely missed the man.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
Good news. Two things. One big and one small. Which do you want to hear first?
Bert asked, his grin fading to a wry smile. Something in his expression told Charles that the small thing would likely be a joke of some kind.
You decide,
Charles said, not willing to play whatever game his friend cooked up.
Ah, all right.
It seemed to take some of the wind out of his sails, but not enough for him to not try it anyway.
Well, you know how you're the oldest man alive? I managed to auction off all my Charles memorabilia for mountains of cash. Turns out you becoming semi-famous made it worthwhile.
Oh, okay.
Charles wasn't sure anything that Bert had sold was worth more than dirt, but he wasn't about to enter a talk anywhere close to the topic of economics with the retired capitalist. Bert just nodded.
Figured that'd be small to you. Want the big news?
Charles nodded slowly.
We found him,
Bert said simply.
Found who?
Charles asked.
The guy who did the thing to your granddaughter,
Bert said, then pressed his lips together and gave Charles a meaningful look.
Oh, oh,
Charles' mind raced thinking. He hadn't forgotten. He knew Bert had said he had an investigator, but he didn't think any investigation would work that fast. Bert had paused for dramatic effect and then asked,
So, what do you want to do about it?
Charles grinned, almost sinisterly.
I want to hit him where it'll hurt the most.
Bert looked shocked and whispered,
You can't mean. Yes, I do. It'll hurt him worse than anything else.
Charles was adamant.
You sure about this?
Bert seemed to be looking for a way to back out. Charles wasn't going to let that happen. His eyes hardened. It was the look of someone who had seen things that no person should have ever had to see.
Absolutely. We tell his mother.